Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur commences 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. You will notice a two dots that's printed after the second word on the line. Before we begin the Gemara itself, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the Gemara that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We have Nosei and Mivneh headings. These are topic headings under the word Nosei and structural notes under the word Mivneh. Sometimes we combine these two types of notes into one entry. In this case, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, on the outside margin, and we have written Shiur Psichas HaKever, or Rechem, the opening or size of aperture that exists in the birth area of a female animal, Shel Isha, in this case a human being, Beledas Nefel, where a woman is miscarrying, Shigorem Letumas Oihel. We should point out that a miscarriage will communicate ritual impurity known as Tumas Ohel. This is a form of Tumah communicated by having the item in the item and others under the same covering, under the same roof. In this case, as we said, a miscarriage will be able to generate that Tumah, not only when it's completely outside of the mother, but even when it is about to exit. And the Gemara here deals with the size of the opening in the birth area that is responsible for the exiting or the emergence of the Tumah that is coming from the Nefel that's on its way out. Tanan Hosam. So we turn to the Gemara, as we said, 10 lines from the top. A Tanaic source is introduced. As you can see, the Tanaic sources in Gemara markings appear in frames, in framed sections. So here we have a source that says, Ein linefilim psichas hakever, ad shi'agilu roish kepika. Psichas kever is the phenomenon of the aperture that opens when a birth process is taking place. So this source says that the opening, which will be responsible for the emergence of the tumah as a result of the nefel, the miscarriage, this aperture is not considered wide enough until it opens, becomes an opening, a circle that's called the size of Rosh Pika. My Kepika, what is meant by that? Omar Ravuna, Kepika Shel Tzemer. Pika is a coil or a ball of wool. Omar Le Chia Bar Rav, the Ravuna. So Chia Bar Rav, upon hearing this ruling of Ravuna, he says, Rebbe, Porish, explain to us, Shel Shti O Shel Orev. When it comes to wool, there are two different sizes or thicknesses of wool thread. One is called shti, the thinner of the two, and the other is called orev. So when you made reference to a pika, shel tzemer, what are you talking about? Are you talking about a coil of shti wool or a coil of orev wool? Omar le tanya. So Rav Huna answers that your question will find its answer in a Tanaic source, which in fact presents the issue as a Tanaic controversy. So once again, we're focusing on the issue of the necessary size opening in the birth process to enable Tumas Oyel to emerge, to emanate from the woman who is bearing a miscarriage. So the source says, Piko Shel Shti, Divrei Rebbe Meir. The size of the aperture would be like the size of a pika of shti, the shti meaning the thinner type of wool. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shel orev, a pika of orev quality wool. That's the thicker, probably then, of course, being a larger size opening. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Mishiyirou Tfifiois. The tuma will emanate from the woman when this is achieved. The Gemara asks, my tfifios, what is meant by that? Before going further in the Gemara, let us look at the Rashi, just a little bit down from where we are in the Gemara. Rashi says, Mishiru ha-tfifios, Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadok, Polig atanakamo. Rav Elazar disagrees with the Tanakam v'yomar, and he says, Afal gav shelo ha-egilu roish kapika, even if you don't have an emerging head of this nefel, the size of a pika, nevertheless, yesh psichas hakever, mishiyiftach rachmo, kolkach shiru'u, besoch rachmo tfifios. There is considered an opening when the woman's birth canal opens to the point that you can see tfifios. The Gemara itself wants to know, what do you mean by the ability to see see tfifios? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, as we say, the Gemara continues, Mishum Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, so Reb Yehuda quotes Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, that says, Kachoyu Meforshim B'Yerushalayim, thusly they explained this idea or this size in Yerushalayim, Kepreda Shekeras Lahatil Meimeha, as a preda, as a mule, which in order to urinate, it bends or it postures itself in such a way that its aperture opens up. The near ace pika beso mitoch pika. We can explain that as there are certain types of folds that are seen inside this area of the anatomy of the animal. So it's a certain level of exposure where you can already see folds inside the birth canal, which seems to be a stage that's earlier than the actual emerging of the head. But once it's opened this much, and that we saw what the Gemara is giving us is an equivalent level of opening that one can see on a behemoth, if a woman reaches this level of opening, then the tuma will emanate. As we go on into Gemara, we notice some more markings. We see the use of double underlines, which is one of our series markings, and we will also see diamonds appearing. So under our Nosei Mivne heading in the outside margin, you can see the double underline highlights Amoroyim Hamityachasim LePikot. There will be different Amoroyim who have what to say, who address or mention in their words the Pikot, these wool coils. And we've used a diamond to feature the numbers Shtei and Shalosh Pikos, where we'll see in the Gemara that Rav Huna and Rav Dimi both make reference to numbers of Pikos, one saying they're two and the other one is saying three, with halachic ramifications. But in each case, you'll notice Rav Huna and Rav Dimi, when they mention the Pikos, each one will say Ein Li Lefarish, and that you can see with a dashed diagonal underlining in the Gemara, which we use for highlighting purposes. Now, this piece of Gemara refers to halachos shoynos hakshuros l'shiurim shel pikos shoynos. The piece of Gemara will mention different laws as they relate to different pikos sizes. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, shomati shtei pikos, achas shel shti v'achas shel orev. I heard that there are two measures that are defined in terms of pikos, one the shti quality, the thinner type wool, and the other the orev, the thicker type wool. Apparently, we should have mentioned this earlier, but apparently there's a certain standard size in which the wool is sold or manufactured, processed into these different types of pikos. But as we say, there seems to be some type of standard that applies, so the Gemara can use them as a means of measuring other things. So Rav Huna says there are two halachas that are connected to pikos, one a pika of shti, the other a pika of Arev, and he says, V'ein li l'farish, but I don't have an explanation for this. In other words, what each one is attached to in terms of associated with. Ki also Rav Dimi, Omer Rav Yochanan, he too will end up saying, Ein li l'farish, but he adds a number. He says, Shalosh pikos shamati. I heard three pikos. Achas shel shti, achas shel Arev, ve'achas piko gedoylo shel sakoyim. Sakoyim are people that make or weave sackcloth or sacks, whereby the threads used for that is actually thicker than even the orev that we mentioned before by the wool. He also Ravin Pirsho Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came along, he explained that which these previous opinions said they didn't have an explanation for. We now see an explanation. Shel isha k'shel shti. For a human being, birth canal opening, the measure is in terms of a pikos shel shti. And shel behemah kishel orev. The opening with regard to a behemah that will be of halachic significance, that's if the behemah's birth canal has opened to an aperture the size of a pikos shel orev. The Rashi points out, in the case of the behemah, the practical ramifications of this is that if the behemah has a nevela inside of it, in other words, it has a miscarriage. The miscarriage, if the behemah were totally closed and it was just simply a pregnant with a miscarriage, so there would be no tumah communicated from that stillborn embryo. However, if there is an opening, then, as Rashi says, it's no longer considered tumah blua, considered absorbed tumah, which doesn't pose a tumah threat. With the opening, it's not considered tumah blua anymore, and therefore, if a person would stick his hands into the cow with its stillborn, the contact with that embryo would result in tumah. Now, as we said, it has to be open to this level of pikos shel orev. The third area is pika gedoyla shel sakoyin. We said this is a coil of sack cloth material, of the threads used for weaving sackcloth. Of what practical bearing does that have? So here we'll see a totally different, unrelated halacha, but it's evaluated or it's measured in terms of this pika gedoyla shel sakoyin. Kedisnan, the following Tanaic source tells us about law concerning dirt that comes from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Gush haba mi beis hapras me'eretz ho'amim. If a gush is a clump of earth, comes from a beis hapras, is an area where there is a suffix, a doubt concerning whether there was a grave in that location. And Eretz ho'amim is, we're talking about dirt that comes from places outside of Eretz Yisrael. This can happen commonly if there are imported vegetables. Many vegetables are root kind of vegetables that when they're harvested, a dirt comes along with them. So that's a gush habo me'eretz ho'amim. There is an understanding that these will communicate tumah. There is background to this, but we won't get into that now. We're just going to work with a basic assumption that that clumps of earth had come from a place that there had been a grave that was, let's say, plowed up, creating what's called a beis hapras, or a clump of dirt coming from Eretz Amim. Shi'uro, the measure of that clump of earth in order to say that it will generate tumah is kapiko gedoyla shel sakoyim, is the size of a large coil of sack cloth thread. Shu kechosim hamartzufin, it's also measured there's a parallel or an equivalent amount that serves as a seal for martzufim. Martzufim is a flask that is made of reed material. And when it's closed up, it's also sealed. And there's a choysim, a seal that's used to seal up this type of receptacle. V'yeshno b'tzad ha'elyon shel megufas hachovis halachmis. The last word in this source, halachmis, is a reference to beis halechem. A chovis is a barrel that's made, that's associated or well known as its fame is that it's made in base lechem. Apparently, according to, as Rashi explains, they made barrels that had a narrow neck to them. In other words, they were wide on the bottom and they would narrow till the opening on top. This made it easier to carry it, to grab it by the thin side of it. Anyway, the source is telling us that there was a seal that was put into the top of these barrels to seal it shut. So that was the sealing of these Megufas HaChovas HaLachmis was the same size as the Choysam HaMartzufim, which is the same size as the Piko Gedol Shel Sakoyim. And as we said, this third shiur of Piko Gedol Shel Sakoyim was a shiur, a quantity, in order to know how much dirt that comes from a Beis HaPras or Eretz Amim would be metame, would be capable of transmitting tumah. As you can see, we have a slash mark that appears in the Gemara. We also have a little note, because up to the side of the Gemara, as we start this sugya, one will think that it has no connection whatsoever to our Gemara, our perek, our masechta. So we have our note says as follows: He'ora. You can see where there's a star on the inside margin. L'kamon b'daf chof gimel omad aleph. When we later on daf chof gimel omad aleph, which is the next block of Gemara, ha-Gemara mevi'ah es mishnasenu shel haroras dam. The Gemara will quote our Mishnah in kechelik mehadiyun b'sugyazu as a part of the discussion, the debate that takes place concerning this topic. So we're going to start a topic, and as we just mentioned, the relevance of this topic appearing in our Gemara is probably associated with the fact that our Mishnah will be quoted in a discussion that follows. But in order to see that association, one has to wait till Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. We glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've also indicated that the topic will keep us preoccupied till the top of Chof Gimel Amud Beis. And we continue in our note, Dino Shel Reish Lakish, B'Shmo Shel Rabbi Yehuda HaNasiya. We're going to see Reish Lakish feature a teaching in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasiya. Taras Tzir, the ability to metahir, to render ritually pure fish brine, Shenilkach Me'am Oretz, that one purchased from an ignoramus, Al Yedei Hashoka B'Mikveh. One will be able to take this fish brine and immerse it in a mikveh, and thereby, with surface contact being made between the receptacle holding the tzir and the water in the mikveh, this will create tara. This will, in effect, be like a ritual cleansing of this tzir. We might as well point out that items purchased from Amaratzim are people that are not careful with regard to Tumah setting upon their food. So the Gemara, and we will notice, of course, we have a firebox around Reish Lakish. It's hard not to notice that. And the reason for this is because what Reish Lakish is about to say will keep us preoccupied for quite a long time, as we mentioned, till the top of Chof Gimel Amud Beis. Omar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Reish Lakish quotes Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya saying, Halokech Tzir Me'am Oretz. If a person buys fish brine from an ignoramus, Mashiko B'mayim, one can do a process called Hashoka in the water of a mikveh, V'tohar. And that will render the Tzir, if it was Tomei, it will become Tohar. My taima, well, why is that so? Answer, mimanafshach. And by the way, we should point out that Reish Lakish's point is a long point, and we've indicated that with a long point marking, the nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line, indicates that all of these lines are here to form the point. So Reish Lakish mentions that one who buys fish brine from an amoretz, he is able to immerse it in a mikveh, causing a connection between the surface tension of the receptacle containing the tzir, the brine, and the water of the mikveh. And the Gemara explains, how does this work? My taima, why is this so? Mimanavshach. Well, mimanavshach means either way you look at things, the mikveh will be an effective solution to the tuma. E ruba maya ninu, if the majority of this substance, the fish brine that you have, is made of water, if the majority is water, kevan de'ovid lehu hashaka, tahari lehu. Once you subject it to the hashaka process, this immersion in the mikveh causing connection between surface tension of the liquid in the receptacle, which we're saying if it's majority water, then tahari lehu. Unlike all other food and drink, water is an exception. Whereas all other food and drink, once they become tamei, there is no way of being metahir them. Water, if it became tamei, does have a tahara solution, and that's through this process known as hashoka. So if the liquid contained in the vessel that contains my fish brine is mostly water, then as being that it is the majority water, it lends itself to being purified or metuhar, cleansed by a mikveh immersion. The e ruba tzir ninu, if the majority of the liquid in the receptacle is in fact the fish brine, well, tzir lo bar kibuli tumahu. The tzir in the first place is a type of substance that does not become tome. So if rove of the receptacle of liquid that I have is made of fish brine, then being that the rove is tzir, there's no problem to begin with, so that the immersion in the mikveh would be of no consequence. And it would be tahor as it always was. As we just said, that tzir is not something that's mekabel tumah. My ika, what might you argue? Mishum hanoch mi'uta demaya. You might say, well, in the tzir, there still is a mute of mayim. There's a minority amount of water. Don't you have to grapple with that? So we say, hanoch batlu luhu beruba. The mute of mayim is botel in the majority of tzir. And hence, there is the majority is tzir, so then there is no tuma problem to worry about in the first place. And the reason for that is that the minority of water that is something that's subject to tuma happens to be voided in the majority of tzir. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah comes and qualifies this halacha. He says, Lo shanu el litbo behen pito. Before we go further, we glance at the Rashi, second line from the bottom. Lo shanu de batlu barov umuter hatsir. This teaching that the water would be batel in the majority and the tsir being allowed, that's elo latabo pito. That's if the issue is using the tsir as it is with its water that's mixed in for the purpose of dipping one's bread into it, serve as a dip for at one's meal. Avol l'kedera, the Gemara goes on, loy. But as far as kedera is concerned, we're not going to be so quick in saying that the mayim is botel. Why not? What's l'kedera? L'kedera means I'm going to add it to a pot when I'm cooking up food. So the answer is why we don't say that the mayim would be botel. Motza min es mino v'neor. Because the water that's in this tzir, though it may be the minority, it meets up with the water in the pot that I'm cooking up right now. So then the waters combine, thereby arousing the water that's tomei in the tzir, and by the fact that it gets aroused, it means it's brought back to the forefront. Now the water is the majority, and that will create tuma. So if we look in the Rashi at the bottom line, motza min es mino v'neor, neor means to be aroused, mitoras bitol, from the tuma having been botel in view of its being a minority substance. So it will be now that it's poured into a pot with water cooking up food, is v'chozer umetame. it's now aroused and has the ability to communicate tuma to the rest of the food there. So prior to it being put in the pot, it was, we'll say, dormant. The water was there, and if you all you wanted to do was to dip bread in it, so then we would have said it's dormant and doesn't affect other things. It's batel. However, once you take this seer water mixture, even in the event that the water is a minority amount, and you pour that into a pot of food with water cooking up as the cooking environment for the food, the water of the pot will join up with the minority amount of water in this seer water mixture and arouse it, making it a formidable source of tumah. Yosef Ravdimi v'ko'omar l'ho shmaitza. Ravdimi was seated and said over this teaching of Rabbi Yirmiyah, this teaching that even though the tumah appeared to be voided, it's not really voided, it's simply in a state of dormancy, with the practical difference between dipping one's bread into it as is, that we said it would be batel, as opposed to using that seer water mixture and pouring it into a pot of cooking food, where it said that the so-called dormant tumah becomes aroused. Omar le Abaye. Now Abaye starts a question, and it's a long question. Actually, Abai starts a discussion that we'll see is a long discussion, but before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the side where we have under our No Say heading, and also have indicated that this goes till Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Tuma Shebatla, Tuma that seems to have been voided, Chazra V'Niora, seems to have the ability to become aroused later. So Abaye asks Ravdimi, he says, V'chi tumah shebatla chazra v'ni'oira, tumah that was batel. We said that the tumah was in the minority. One of the two possibilities in analyzing the seer was that it is the minority. Once something is in the minority and becomes batel, becomes voided, how in the world can it become subsequently aroused? Where did we see it getting aroused? We saw the seer water mixture getting, with the water being in the minority, getting poured into a pot of food cooking up. We said that the water in the pot causes the minority amount of water in the tzir mixture to become aroused, and hence being metama everything. So Rav Dimi says back to Abaye, after Abaye made what would seem to be a point, he says, hey, once tuma is batel, that's it, it can't become subsequently aroused. Rav Dimi responds with a question, and we have labeled this a long question. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. If you follow this line, you'll notice that it continues and continues till Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. As we said, Abai, Rav Dimi responds with a question, and he says, V'at lo tizbara, do you not say thusly that something, that tumah could become aroused, v'hotnan? We have the following Tanaic source. The source itself spans all of Chof Beis Amid Beis, and it goes till the fourth line, first word, on Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. The point of this discussion is to show from a Tanaic source that one would have to accept this possibility of Tumah that seemed to be Botel becoming aroused on a later occasion. And hence, Rav Dimi is wondering why does Abaye feel that once something is batel, that's it? It can't get resurrected. So Rav Dimi says, "Listen, we see in the following v'hotnan sa'al truma tamea shenafla lemea chulin tahorin. A saw is a measure. It's the name of a measure of truma that happened to be tamei that fell into 100 times." Chulin tahorim. This is chulin that chulin is mundane food matters. Non truma being a tithe set aside to a kohen and something forbidden for non kohanim to eat. Anyway, a saw of this truma tamea fell into a mass of 100 times the same substance chulin tahorim. That was tahor. Tahor means that it's not tamei and it wasn't muchsher lekabel tuma either. So we have this mixture, one saw of Truma Tameah falling into 100 saw of Chulin Tahorin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Teirom V'Tirkav. Pick out from this mixture one saw, set it aside till it rots. Shani Omer, he saw Shinofla, he saw Shalsa. Rabbi Lezer saying that the saw that I take out from the mixture is the saw that fell in. In other words, it's a manner of looking at things. And Rabbi Lezer says, just pull out a saw and you can rely on that saw that you pull out as being the saw of Truma Tameah that had fallen in. Rachamim Omrim Ta'aleh V'Te'ochel. Ta'aleh is an expression meaning let it be voided, botel, so that you're not pulling out a saw, you're simply saying that the saw that fell in becomes voided, and eat it V'Te'ochel Nikudim Okloyos, and then eat the grains, if you will, dry. Nikudim is dry, Kloyos is roasted. In other words, these are all means of keeping it from being mukshar lekabel tuma. Oitilosh b'mei peros, or knead it in fruit juice. Fruit juice is something that's not machshir lekabel tuma. O tischalik le'isois, or split it into a separate doughs. Split these this truma chulin mixture of grains into separate doughs. So that you don't have a kibetza size of dough in any one clump that you are separating. When something is less than a kibetza in size, it's incapable of communicating tuma further to something else. The Tani Allah represents a brisa that comes to explain or relate to the information contained in this Tanaic source. Oysan Chulin L'Rebbe Eliezer. We're at the top of Chof Gimel Amen Aleph. The Chulin, according to Rebbe Eliezer, now, just to review, what did he say? He said when the saw Truma fell into the Mea Sa'in of Chulin Tahorim, Rebbe Eliezer said, pull out one Sa'a. So what that which remains are called the Chulin. So the Chulin that remains, what does Rebbe Eliezer say about them? Before going further, let us just glance at the Rashi that you find on the lower part of Chof Beis Amid Beis. Oysan Chulin, Rebbe Lezer, Mate Alehen. What will be with the Chulin? Til Rabbanon, Ho'amrinan, Bekulhu, Bein Chulin, Bein Truma, Ye'ochel, Nekudim, Okloyos. According to the Rabbanon, we know what they say. It's eaten together. Whether together the chulin and the truma together, the chulin mentioned there would be bittel, so it's all eaten together, but in a dry way, it's either left dry or roasted. The Elul Rebbe Lozer Rashi continues at the top of Chof Gimel Amar Aleph. Rashi says Elul Rebbe Lozer Yomar Shani Omer. He said that which fell in you are now taking out, even though it fell into a mixture. Mi chashvinon luhu kitahorin domi. Does Rebbe Lozer view the rest of the chulin that remain after I pulled out one saw? Does he view the rest of it as chulin tahorin, completely tahor? Bekomar yocholenu nikudim o yolushu. And Rebbe Lozer said that even after you pull out the saw, that which remains must be eaten in a dry way. Dry meaning keeping it from being mukshur lekabel tuma. So the source goes on to say at the top line, yochlu nikudim o kloyos o yelushu v'mei peros, or allow it to be kneaded with fruit juices, o tischalik lisois ubavad, or divided into little pieces, little sections of dough, vashli hey. So that you don't have an egg quantity in one location. And we explained that earlier. The Omar Ula Matam, and Ula explains what's the reason for this. In other words, what's the reason that Rebbe Lozer does not view it as Chulin Gemurin?
After all, Rav Elazar said that when the initial problem arose, the saw of Truma Tamea that fell in, you have a right to pull out a saw and say, the one I pulled out is the problematic stuff. So, what's the reason then in this source that even though, let us say, according to the Rabbonon that said it would be Botel, according to Rav Elazar that says you pull out a saw and label that the Truma Tamea, why is it then that they still say that that the chulin that's there, in the case of Rav Elazar, the chulin that remains, or in the case of the Rabbanan, the entire mixture which is viewed as chulin, why is it that they are careful, or you can see they're worried about Tuma, even though we thought that we had solved or voided the whole Tuma problem? So the Gemara answers, you know why they're worried? Why they say, make sure that you eat it dry or roasted, or if you intend to prepare it with fruit juices that are not machshir l'kabel tuma. So the reason for their concern or their hesitation is gzeira shema yavi kav chulin tameim mimokom acher. We're worried about the following scenario, where a person, the owner of this, mixture that we described already, will bring an outside kav as a measure of chulin tameim from another source, chulin that is actually tamei. The kav v'oid mimin zeh, and it'll take a kav plus. A kav, as we said, is a measure, so it's that measure plus a little more from this material, from the mixture that we have described earlier, the mixture of the truma that fell into 100 parts chulin tahorim. So we're afraid that a person will have a kav of chulin tameim and a kav vioid of this material, that's mimin zeh, savar iv talinhu beruba, thinking that by mixing the chulin tameim with a kav of chulin tameim with a kav plus of this chulin, that I will have bitul berov. The chulin tameim being the minority relative to what we think we have over here, being chulin tahorin. And the person will think that he successfully was mevatel berov. In other words, kav viod, kav plus is more than a kav. And that the kav plus of this material would nullify the kav of chulin tameim. However, v'kevon de'ika hai mashihu, since there is a certain amount of, if you remember the original Truma Tamea that fell in, there's still a mashu of that is here. So that in the kav, the ode of material, of flour, of grains that I took from the above mentioned mixture, in that kav, the ode, which I thought was chulin tahorin, not so. There's a little bit of Truma Tamea left in there, and Motzo Min Es Mino V'Neor, and that little bit of Truma Tamea that's left in there will join up with the Chulin Tameim. And I won't have a majority of Chulin Tahorim to Mevatel the Chulin Tameim. So what do we see from this whole discussion? The whole long point, or the question led up to this very last comment, where we have what we thought was Tuma that was Botel actually resurfacing or becoming aroused with its contact with the Chulin Tameim. So this is what Rav Dini was saying to Abaye, hey, why are you so amazed when we spoke about the tzir with the minority of water being poured into a pot where there was a water environment cooking food, and I had reported that the minority of chulin of tuma that was in the tzir, the mayim tameim, will become aroused. Here too we see the arousal of the dormant small amount of tuma that was present in the original mixture with the Truma Tamea. Amale, Abaye says, listen, you can't compare the cases. In Tuma Oireres Tuma, if in the case that was just featured, where we said why in the original Truma Tamea mixture with 100 parts Chulin, why there is a possibility of it getting aroused if one were to mix it with other Chulin Tamea, because on both sides of the equation, you've got Tuma meeting up with Tuma. So when Tuma meets up with Tuma, I can understand how the original dormant minority amount of Tuma gets aroused because of it's now being joined up with Chulin Tameim, with other Tuma. However, in the case that you, Rav Dimi, were featuring the pot of food cooking up in water, that water was tar. How could it be that water that's the minority amount of Tomei water in the tzir, how in the world could that be aroused to pose a threat by meeting up with water that is tahor? You don't have Tuma on both sides of the equation. So that is the reason that Abaye had raised his eyebrow, so to speak, to what Rav Dimi had reported. And we can say, knowing full well about this case of the that featured Rebbe Lozer and the Chachamim, but as we said, that case was different because that had Tuma on both sides of the equation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.